I did want to say this as well. I asked our associate pastor, James Grandinetti, to repost the message that I preached last Sunday, and that message is entitled Easter's Hope. Easter's Hope. And I think in the day and age that we live in today, we need some hope, amen. And so I encourage you, this evening, so we're not live streaming this evening, I encourage you later on this week, beginning in Wednesday afternoon, after it's posted, to listen to that, and I believe it might be a great blessing to you. But this morning, we're here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and I've entitled this message, Easter in a time of change. Easter in a time of change. I suppose by now that most everybody in all America has heard Alan Jackson's song, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? I don't think it really matters if you only listen to a certain type of music or certain genre of music, or you don't listen to this and don't listen to that, either through a movie or some montage of video productions. You probably heard of that song, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? It's about the tragic events that have taken place in our country on September 11th, and many people were touched by that song. Every time I do happen to hear that song, I am still touched by that, as I really do not want to forget that what happened that day. It became one of the top-selling country singles of all times. It was even nominated by the Academy of Christian Country Music as Song of the Year and Single of the Year. And if we have learned anything from that time, and perhaps that song, and if the world did stop on September 11th after that attack, guess what? It soon started turning again. Life has gone on since September 11th. We have slowly become accustomed to changes that have taken place in America, those minor inconveniences that come with being more security conscious. We show up at the airport at least 2 hours for national flights and 3 hours for international flights. No more can you be dropped off by a cab or an Uber with 15 minutes before the plane takes off. You're running through the airport like O.J. Simpson did for those Hertz car commercials. No longer are we able to do that. We have to be prepared to go through metal detectors at sporting events, concerts, some of your workplaces, and even our high schools sometimes have that as well. We have to be more observant of suspicious behavior all around us. And if you see it, tell someone about it. It's not about you and I to determine whether it's right or wrong or whether it's suspicious. If you think it's suspicious, just go ahead and tell someone. All of us have made adjustments in our lifestyle that most Americans probably thought that we would never, ever have to do in America. In Israel, yes. The Middle East, yes. Other foreign nations, yes. They've been doing things like this for a long time, but not here in America. Well, ever since the worldwide pandemic of the COVID-19 viruses, our lifestyles have once again changed one more time. We're now adjusting to a new normal, whatever that normal is. Schools and colleges and universities are now holding virtual classes and online classes only. We're limited to takeout from my favorite restaurants, and I haven't yet ventured to go to my favorite sit-down restaurant and take it out. I'm worried, but the time I get home, it's going to be cold, and I'm going to have to reheat it in the microwave, so I'm just saving all my ducks up for when they open back up, and I'll be first in line at every one of those restaurants. That's what my plan is to be. So we're limited by the takeout from our favorite restaurants. Churches are really not open for corporate congregational worship unless there's 10 or less people sitting in the pews. Stores that aren't deemed essential have been shut down, and those that can remain open surely have reduced hours and also reduced stock. And can somebody please tell anybody where we can find toilet paper and Clorox wipes from, amen? I went to the store the other day, I'm not going to mention it, and I wear reading glasses and I have bifocals as well, and I'm kind of all the time cleaning my glasses. I can't stand one speck on my glasses, so I might use 3 cleaning wipes just before I preach just to get up here, because that's how much I just have a thing about that. And so I went to Walmart. I went to Walmart to find some, and there was none anywhere. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? So that we all live under some kind of new normal. For the past 2 weeks here in Hampton, Virginia, we've been on a stay-at-home advisory. And from the way I understand, a lot of people have been really adhering to that. And perhaps we're coming to the apex or that flattened point of the coronavirus here in Hampton, Virginia. We're praying for that, asking God to quickly as he can give our leadership wisdom and opening it up. Think about this. Social distancing is now the rule of law of most people. There's still some people that when you stand in line at a particular store, they have those markers for 6 feet. And I still felt some guy breathing down my neck. I'm not paranoid about the thing, but I just turned around and I said, sir, I think your dot is right back there. And he went, you know, like, oh, no, you're one of them. I'm not really one of them, amen. But if they're there, let's just go ahead and do what they want us to do. And guess what? With all those changes that are taking place, guess what? Our life still goes on. And this morning, we celebrate Easter here at Charon Baptist Church, and we celebrate it in a different church and even in a different world than we knew just a few weeks ago. I'm not even speaking months ago or thinking about 9/11. I'm thinking just a few weeks ago. But I want you to know something this morning. Even though the world keeps changing, and by the way, it will keep on changing, Easter has not changed. The events that took place on Resurrection Sunday over 2,000 years ago supersede any event that has ever has or will take place on this earth. The events that took place on that very first Easter Sunday render powerless all the acts of terror, all the sickness that you might be experiencing from the COVID-19, pain and sorrow, despair and sin, and every other terrible thing that has plagued humanity ever since the fall back in the beginning of mankind. Here's the truth. The world has changed, but Easter has not. The events of this Easter morning demonstrate to us this foundational truth of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has the power over death. He has the power over sin. And guess what? He has the power to make a difference inside of your life as well. And I want us to celebrate this Easter Sunday, just as we would celebrate any other Easter Sunday, by responding to the risen Lord Jesus Christ the same way that his followers responded the moment that they saw Jesus. Matthew 28, we already have read, kind of tells us the story of a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary went to the tomb of our Savior. And there was a very violent earthquake that's taken place, and the stone that covered the tomb was rolled away. And as I begin to look at this passage afresh and anew this week, it just caught me. The angel just sat on top of the stone. I read that before, and I've seen pictures of it, but it just got me. It's like he's sitting on the top, tapping his foot and saying, hello, what's up? What's going on here? I don't know what he was thinking, but I do know it just seemed a little funny to me this time when I thought about him just sitting on top of the rock. The angel of the Lord appeared, and he said in verses 5-7, and said, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. And by the way, he promised that he would in Matthew 24, and that ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And the women were stunned and turned to hurry away. But the Bible said they were filled, get these words, with fear. But then notice this, great joy. And suddenly, as they turned to go tell the disciples, the Lord shows up himself. The Bible tells us, we already read it, they fell at his feet and began to worship him. And he said again, be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me, in verse number 10. So think about it. The first words of the resurrected Savior that he spoke were to these ladies. And in this simple message that I have for you this morning, I want us to learn how to live out the significance of Easter in our everyday life. How can we learn of these truths that Jesus spoke to those ladies that day? How can we apply it to our life? How can we live out the truth that Jesus Christ is arose from the dead? I think the defining moment is right before us. I mean, it's Easter Sunday. We think of Easter Sunday, I think of it as the Super Bowl of the churches is today. The biggest day of all the year is here. He arose and we celebrate that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to live out a life of significance in our lives, I believe there's three things this morning, very quickly, that we need to do. Notice, first of all, if you're going to live out the life of significance because of Easter, notice, first of all, stand up to your fears. Stand up to your fears. During his ministry on earth, we find that Jesus commanded his followers to fear not. And that's a good Bible study if you'd ever have done that. Just search out the fear nots of the Bible. But after his resurrection, one of the very first statements that Jesus made was, be not afraid. And we could simply say this, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why would Jesus say that? Isn't fear an emotion that we can't control? It's not the kind of feeling that you and I genuinely would want to have 24/7. I wouldn't choose to have this fear in my life. Typically, fear hits us like a giant tidal wave when we're least prepared for it. Have you ever noticed that once you had a suspicious symptom in your body, like a pain in your chest, or maybe there's some numbness somewhere, or you find a lump somewhere as you check for that, you're seized by panic and fear almost immediately? Or have you ever fallen asleep on the couch if you're a parent of a teenager and you woken up and looked at the clock and found out, oh my goodness, my teenager is an hour after curfew. All of a sudden you realize that they're not home. Guess what? You're overcome with fear, wondering what could have happened to them. Maybe you're sound asleep in the middle of the night and 3 o'clock your cell phone goes off and the first thing that you think, oh my goodness, what is wrong? Because nobody calls at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, how was your day yesterday? I've been praying for you this night for tomorrow. Hope you're going to have a good day. No, when somebody calls at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning, it's generally not good news. That phone rings. Fear grips your life. And you find out that something tragic has happened. It's usually not good news. Or maybe you've gone to work before early in the morning, and as you get to your office door, your boss shows up in front of your door and says, don't bother taking your coat off. That introduces a whole nother type of fear, doesn't it? You see, fear affects us psychologically. Our heart begins to beat faster when we fear. Our stomach begins to turn flip-flops, so to speak, although not physically. Our hands oftentimes begin to shake. And sometimes, as our fear grips us, that we have difficulty breathing. And sometimes fear will cause an anxiety attack to come in. But the worst effect fear has on most people is that it paralyzes us. It causes us to do nothing, or even worse, it causes us to want to run away, but we can't move and we can't run away. You see, fear is a very overpowering emotion, and certainly not an emotion we would willingly choose to feel if we have a choice of emotions that we could just turn on or we could turn off. Jesus says this, don't be afraid. He says, don't fear, as if it's a matter of choice that we have. But did you know what? It is a matter of choice, and here's why. Because Jesus is not referring to our emotions as much as he's referring to our thoughts and our actions. He's saying this, don't think fearfully, don't act fearfully. And during times of personal crises, maybe it's a health problem, or maybe you've been furloughed off of your job because of the COVID-19 virus, maybe the death of someone close to you, we often let this uncertainty of the future cause us to put our life on hold. Jesus is telling us that you do not have to do that. He says, don't fear. And matter of fact, he says, in effect, basically this: I have the power over life and death. I have the power over every challenge that you might face in your life. There's no act of war that can separate you from my love. There's no health problem that can separate you from my presence. No divorce, no failed businesses, no lost job, no sin can separate you from my mercy. And at the end of the chapter, and chapter 28 and verse 20, he says these words: and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we do not have to live in fear. The resurrection tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And if he can conquer death, hell, and the grave, guess what? He can conquer any fear that you might have in your life. Well, how do we stand up to our fears? Well, we stand up to our fears by responding with faith, such as thoughts of faith and acts of faith. You see, fear is just an emotion. It's just a feeling. And we no longer have to live by our feelings, because the Bible tells us to live by faith and not by our sight. We stand up to our fears by thinking faith and by acting in faith. And living out the significance of Easter in our daily lives, there's something else I think that we need to do. And that is, secondly, we need to focus on your mission. You need to focus on your mission. Look again at what Jesus said in verse number 10. He said, go tell my brethren. Just as Jesus gave these women at the garden tomb a message for the other disciples, he has given us a message, just not for our close associates, but for the whole world. And that message is simply this: tell them that I am alive. Tell them that I rose again. Tell them about my death, the burial, and the resurrection of God's only begotten Son that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the resurrection accounts found in the four gospels, Jesus emphasizes this mission that he has given to me and you. And Matthew 28 and verse 19, but go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Luke 24 and verse 47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that, my friend, Jerusalem is referencing your home area, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your co-workers, your immediate family. That's what he mentions. And then in John 20, verse 21, and the latter part of that verse, he said this: and as my Father has sent me, so send I you. You see, Jesus' first message to his followers after his resurrection was, go and tell others. He told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. He said, go tell the disciples. Go tell others. Go tell them that I'm reminding them of the promise in Matthew 24 to get down to Galilee, and there I'm going to meet with them personally. In our changing world today, with the coronavirus and the COVID-19 virus, this message is more important than ever before. Our world needs to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has power over sin, power over death, power over hell and the grave. I once read a story about a guy whose name was Jeff, and when he was 12 years old, he accidentally broke a window while playing baseball with a friend. And they did what probably a lot of 12-year-olds would do, begin to look around very quickly to see if anybody saw them. And their only witness was his younger brother. So Jeff looked at his younger brother and he said, keep quiet about this and I'll give you some candy. The younger brother looked at Jeff and said, I don't want any candy. Jeff said, keep quiet and I'll give you this baseball. The younger brother looked at Jeff and said, I don't want a baseball. Jeff said, okay, how about my baseball and my brand new glove? Well, the younger brother said, listen, if I don't want the baseball and I don't want the candy, I definitely don't want your baseball glove. Then Jeff said, well, just tell me whatever you want to be, just tell me whatever you want and I'll do that for you. His brother said, I want to tell. That little boy has some great information, and he didn't want to keep it all to himself. It should be the same way with you and I. We have the greatest information in all the world that someone loved him so much that he willingly died on the cross of Calvary and victoriously rose again 3 days and three nights later and proceeded to the Heavenly Father and now sits on the right hand of God the Father. We've got a great story to tell, and the world is desperate to hear that story. Even now, during this time of the COVID-19, we have ample opportunities. People, God is opening up hearts and doors unprecedentedly, even before the weeks prior to this. People are curious. They want to know. Some want to know if this is the end of time. I don't know that. Only God the Father knows that. But what I do know is simply this, and I tell them, I don't know if this is the end time, but I do know this. I know you need to be ready just in case it is. And they're like, well, tell me more. So then you tell them more and lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. And our mission as a church and your mission as an individual is more important in this day and age, right now, than ever before. With social distancing and stay-at-home orders comes anxiety and loneliness and isolation. Couple that with hopelessness and despair. I'm telling you, my friends, people need Jesus. And in case you didn't know, we have the only answer to everyone's concern and the only answer to everyone's fear. In Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him, that's the answer to the problem. That's what the world needs. They need Jesus Christ. So you and I have that responsibility to go and tell. You have unprecedented liberty because of the situation and the day and age that we live into right now. Well, if we're going to live out the significance of Easter in our own personal lives in a practical, applied way, we're going to have to stand up to your fear. Number two, you have to focus on the mission. Then notice in the last part of verse number 10, we're going to have to rely on His promises. Notice what the Bible said. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So here's His promise. He said to Mary and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, He said, go tell them what I tell you to say, and I'm going to show up over there. A pastor was preaching at a conference, and as they were planning one of the services, the worship leader explained to the band who would lead the worship music, and as they got done, the worship leader said this, and we'll see if God shows up. Well, the pastor thought about that for a little bit and gave a puzzled look. A little while later, he heard someone else say something similar, commenting on the aspect of the conference, and he made the same remark. We'll see if God shows up. Again, the pastor ignored it. It disturbed him. But the third time he heard someone say, we'll see if God shows up, he said, I can't take anymore. And he decided to speak up. And he said, I realize it's just one of those sayings that people say today. But let me help you. If there is any question about God showing up at this event, maybe we should just cancel this event. One of the leaders stood up and said, oh, no, you know, it's just a figure of speech. Of course God is going to show up. What we really mean is this. Let's see if God moves amongst us as we worship Him. The pastor replied back and said, well, I really hate to nitpick, but if there's any question about whether or not God is going to move in, maybe we should rethink our plans. The song leader thought for a moment and said, okay, I'll get it. And here's the fact. If Jesus doesn't show up, The church is powerless. Our hope is not in programs. Our hope is not in a bus ministry or the Sunday school ministry or the widows ministry or the teen ministry or anything else that we do. Our hope is in the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. Listen, if he doesn't change lives, our church or the church as a whole really has no future. If we have to change the world by our own power, we don't stand a chance. I can't change the world by my power. You can't change the world by your power. We have to rely on the power of Jesus Christ. Imagine how the women who witnessed the resurrected Jesus must have felt as they told others about what they were to do. They told him basically something along this line. Pack your bags, boys, and get ready to make a journey into Galilee. And when you get there, you'll see Jesus alive and in the flesh. I wonder, as they gave those words to those disciples that day, I wonder if they had any doubts. I mean, think about it. Here they are. They saw Jesus. Jesus told them what to do. But now they're telling a different crowd who didn't see Jesus and really didn't have a fuller understanding of what Christ taught them all through his years of ministry. I wonder if they second-guessed themselves. I wonder if they might have said to each other, did we really see what we think we saw? Maybe it was just a dream. What if it was just our imaginations? What if we tell him to go to Galilee and he doesn't go there? Wouldn't we look like fools telling him to go there? I don't know if thoughts like that ever crossed their mind, but I know the Bible said they were filled with fear and excitement as well, and they were excited what the Lord had them to do. But I do know this. They were willing to put their reputations at risk and rely on the promises that Christ told them at that empty tomb that morning. And certainly we know the rest of the story. Jesus did meet with his disciples, and they were not disappointed. Every week I stand in this pulpit, and I make some very bold promises to you. Our promise is this. Give your life to Jesus Christ, and he will turn it around. Give your heart to him, and he'll fill it with his presence. Give your burdens to him, and guess what? He'll bear them for you. Confess your sins to him, and he'll forgive you absolutely, fully, and completely. Give your sorrow, your fear, and your worries to him, and replace them with joy and peace and love and fulfillment beyond all measure. These are bold promises that I make every week, but I make them because I know I can rely on the power of Christ to fulfill them. It's not up to me. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to him. And I know that he will do what he says and promise that he will do. Without the promises of Jesus, the church really doesn't have anything to offer this world. We couldn't offer joyful fellowship because guess what? He, Christ, the resurrected Christ, is the source of our joy. Without his promises, our joys wouldn't even exist. We couldn't offer any ministries here at Charon Baptist Church because those ministries are operated by people whose lives have been changed through the power of Jesus Christ. And without his promises, those lives would have never been changed and those ministries would not exist here today. We couldn't even open up our doors for public services because without his promises, there are no songs to sing. There are no messages to preach. We live by the promises of God. Understand this. He is our hope. Without him, we can do nothing. And as we face uncertain times during the COVID-19 pandemic, we can't afford to trust in ourselves. I know I can't trust myself. I can't trust our economy. And as much as I love our president, I don't trust him. I don't trust the company that you work for. I don't trust this country. I don't trust in anybody else. Our hope is only through Jesus Christ and him alone. Well, as we close, even though the world is quickly changing, Easter never changes. We celebrate it as we celebrate it every year, the same as it was celebrated on that very first original Easter day. We stand up for our fears by thinking and acting in faith. We focus on our mission by telling others about the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we rely on His promises to show up. Show up in our lives and all the lives who put their faith and trust in Him. You see, we can celebrate Easter in a time of change because the world changes, but Easter and Christ never does. Let's pray.